hear about it. Talk about it.
We want to be heard. 70 million people want to be heard.
55 KRZ. The 55 KRC, the talk station. Good morning, Liz. There's that woohoo for Friday. You heard I said good morning, Liz. I post Happy Friday on my Facebook page every Friday. And Liz said, just waiting to hear that 505. So I thought I'd throw in a shout to her. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed the program. Got a good one lined up today. Thanks to Joe Strecker, executive producer, internet research guru, all around great guy. Got Tech Friday coming up. Speaking of internet, a couple of things to talk about, too, with regard to the cancel culture, the mental health toll, the internet, and the harmful effects that they have identified linked to social media, particularly among young people. Man, it's terrible. And people are so damn mean. It is amazing to me. But also within the context of the Democrats, and there's an op-ed piece by Kim Strassel in the Wall Street Journal today about Democrats devouring one of their own, Kristen Sinema. Kristen Sinema, they are applying the same obnoxious, stalking, doxing, you know, abusive, you know, attacks on social media and elsewhere against one of their own. This is exactly what happens. Exactly what happens every time. Anyhow, and Americans are rejecting this in larger numbers. Again, we'll get to that in a moment. Tech Friday this morning with Dave Hatter coming up at 6:30. He's got a link on notes, which I always encourage you to get Dave Hatter's notes. They're always chock full of great information. You're driving around, you're listening, you're just sitting there having your coffee in the morning. You don't have a pen and paper in hand and not thinking about, you know, pulling the podcast back up later. His notes are posted on my blog page, 55KRC.com, with a link to the Washington Post report, Privacy Reset, a guide to the important settings that you should change now. Assuming this means your browser and your computer settings, so we'll find out from Dave. What your cars know about you. Frightening stuff. Yeah, your cars are a vehicle that's keeping track of you, or a vehicle to keep track of you, also a vehicle. Anyhow, FBI warning about hijacking of Internet of Things devices used for swatting. Is that a new word? Swatting? Seems to me we've run across that one before. Anyway, that's what Dave's for. It's at 6:30. Jennifer Gross, State Representative Gross, what happened to the vaccine mandate legislation? You heard of that top of the hour news? Good question. Perfect timing to have Jennifer Gross on to talk about that. Tim Coates from Wild Birds Unlimited is going to do an Empower You seminar. Everyone loves hummingbirds, but what about all the other wild birds? I love hummingbirds, too, and we'll talk about birds. Also, maybe about that bird infection that was going around. They were telling people to take their feeders down, if I recall. Anyway, we get the expert, Tim, at 7:30 to talk about, followed by, yes, Ron Wilson, 8:05. Always enjoy my time talking with Ron on a Friday. Jason Williams, Politics Extra, and couple of topics we'll talk about with him, but generally the question, rhetorical probably, why have local races gotten so partisan? Because all the other races have gotten partisan, going back to the Democrats starting to eat their own in the form of the attacks on Kristen Sinema. Anyway, a couple of things here. The Dems are really struggling right now to figure out what to vote for, what not, the order in which things need to be voted. Speaking of Kristen Sinema, she said, no, I'm not voting on that big multi-trillion dollar social spending spree package that Biden and the leftists in the party want before we vote on the trillion-dollar infrastructure bill. Apparently, there was a meeting earlier this week, Sinema and fellow, if there are still any, there weren't that many in the room, I'm sure, moderate Democrats, Democratic Senator Joe Manchin was included among them, said they would not abide by any deadlines adopted by the leadership, i.e. Chuckie Schumer, to force votes on the package. Group House Democrats suggested putting a November deadline for passing the multi-trillion-dollar social welfare spending bill and moving on with the bipartisan infrastructure bill, but both Manchin and Sinema said no. They said artificial deadlines are a bad idea. So she's standing in the way of them getting their way, which is a great thing. Except if you're Kristen Sinema, In which case, you've invited the leftist throngs to invade your personal space and every element of your life because they don't get what they want. And it was really revealing. Speaking of Chuckie Schumer, he had a comment the other day because they next week are going to be voting on the election bill. This is that crazy federal effort to control local elections, although it's guised under a federal election law bill. Remember, we have state-controlled elections, and then there's the federal elections, presidential elections, senators and representatives, and, of course, presidents. It wouldn't necessarily apply to state positions, state representatives, state senators, local issues. But once you put a global nationwide mandate law in place for federal related elections, it of course is, well, we'll just go ahead and do the same damn thing for state elections. It's like California setting its own emission standards because California is such a huge economy. And the automakers just roll over and put them all, apply them to all the states. It's easier to have one size fitting all than, you know, changing it around depending on which election it is. But in any event, his comment was revealing, and it certainly flies in the face of the republic that is our country. So yesterday he said that he'd be setting a vote for next Wednesday to begin debate on the election law that they put together. Quote, "We cannot allow conservative-controlled states to double down on their regressive and subversive voting bills." He's referring to the Freedom to Vote Act. Get a load of that. Now, then analyze, if you dare take the time, to look into what was passed in these so-called conservative-controlled states and the motivations for passing the election reforms. You are not going to be able to articulate a single reason or a single point within any one of these legislative reforms that excludes any person based upon the color of their skin, the religion, the height, their weight, nothing. Most of them seek to solidify and otherwise clarify much of the confusion that stemmed from the COVID-19 rollout last year and the willingness of some state and election officials to just seemingly ignore the law and do whatever they damn well please with regard to making adjustments. Ah, well, we're going to give you 10 extra days. Ah, you don't have to have the signature. Nah, you don't need it. What? Where did that come from? Pennsylvania was one of the worst possible examples of all this. You've got an obligation. I don't care if it's standing in your way and you're in the middle of an emergency situation. You still have to work through the legislative branch to make changes to your election laws. You can't just randomly do it on a fly, which is what they did. So the reaction from a lot of conservative states, I will admit, but the reaction was, okay, we're not going to let this happen again. Here's the way it's going to be. Like in Ohio, early voting, 30 days in advance, multiple different ways you can early vote. There's some ID requirements. They're not too onerous. You got all the time in the world. And we're labeled, I presume that, you know, this is one of those Chuckie Schumer labeled conservative-controlled states here in Ohio. We cannot allow the citizens who, in a representative democracy, elected more conservative-minded people, knowing full well what their policies are and what they stood for. That's what the citizens of those states wanted, Chuck Schumer. They didn't want your leftist, ideological, ridiculous, set-it-up-for-voter-fraud principles shoved down their throats. We cannot allow you to make your own choices. We cannot allow you to clean up the voter rolls. We cannot allow you to prevent, you know, ballot gathering and ballot box stuffing. The things that create an aura of well, it's like the appearance of impropriety. It's one of those legal things that, you know, as a lawyer, you have to, under the ethical rules, avoid the appearance of impropriety. Well, if you can drive around town and hit a senior home and grab every single one of the mail-in ballots that you sent by mail to everyone eligible to vote and fill them out and stuff them in a ballot box, you have the appearance of potential election fraud. if the opportunity exists to use it for fraudulent purposes, there is the appearance that it might happen. And most of these conservative states got rid of the appearance. They solidified it. They gave you specific rules and sets and criteria that one everybody could easily follow. And it's an insult to any person of color to tell them collectively as a group. Think about this. The left is telling you, black people, for example, they always use these, they're disenfranchising blacks. They're telling you collectively you can't follow a simple, basic set of rules. Every one of you is incapable. This is the broad brush that the left paints on you. Why do you abide? I have never met a black person in my life that couldn't handle the 30-day advance voting requirement, the ability to get an ID, which you're going to need anyway for any number of other things. Hell, you need to go get a vaccine passport to get into a concert, right? You got to go through that hurdle. Does that not impact people of lower income more than anyone? I had to drive out of my way yesterday to get a COVID-19 test to prove I didn't have COVID-19 so I could go to a damn concert tomorrow night. I could barely find one. I had to do the PCR test, which takes a couple of days. There weren't any instant tests around. My wife drove to Mount Healthy from Sims Township because it was the only place that she could find that had the instant test. How about a person of lower income that needs this test because, wow, they were lucky enough to score some tickets to a game? Who does this impact more? But that's just in the context of COVID. No one seems to be complaining or worrying about the lower income folks among us that have to jump through the same damn hurdles that my wife and I did. Yeah, we both have cars and can afford to drive out of our way and have some free time to do that. How many of us can say that? But the insult that the left it just heaps down upon ethnic folks, folks of color, under the auspices that somehow the conservatives are trying to disenfranchise you. No, step back from that optic and look exactly what the laws do. And you tell me that they are racially divisive or that somehow some marginalized group is going to be incapable of doing the same dang thing that everybody else is going to have to do under a uniform, unified set of laws that are designed to protect the integrity of the vote so you can, well, check out the results the next day and have some confidence in them and avoid litigation over it. Coming up on 518, 55 KRC, the talk station. Bond Furniture in beautiful downtown Loveland, historic.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. And let's go, Lemmy. If you like to gamble, I'll tell you how you land. You win some, lose some, and do the same to me. 522, we're about there, CD Talk Station. Going back to Chuckie Schumer, the bills are trying to pass. Of course, the vote for election bill that I just mentioned before, trying to dictate the terms and conditions on each individual state to, well, follow the will of Chuckie Schumer and the leftists rather than the will of the people. What is the will of the people? Got a new Gallup poll out. And I was thinking more along the lines of the $3.5 trillion social welfare spending spree, manipulate the terms and conditions of your lives more and more, government control over your lives. That's what that bill will bring about the expansion of government's role in your life, more regulatory control over your life, fewer choices that you get to make with regard to your personal situation. Now, Gallup poll released yesterday. At least we're on the majority side of the equation. 52% of those questions said that the government is doing too many things that should be dealt with by businesses and individuals. 43% out there are the idiots that think the government needs to do more to address the country's so-called problems. Last year, it was flipped the other way. Now, remember, we're in COVID last year. We're in COVID. Oh, my God, we're all going to die mode. We need government solutions. Come on, somebody's got to do something. And then there's the politicians up there with the old phrase, we got to do something to protect our phony baloney jobs. Give me a harumph. Last year, 54% government should do more, 41% disagree. This year's flipped back the right way. Apparently, a big swing between 2020 and 21 was independent voters, the all-important election-changing or defining independents out there. Percentage of independents who said government is doing too many things jumped from last year's 38% to this year's, get a load of this jump, 57%. You know, it's amazing when you see a year's worth of government antics, you know, the school board meetings, the Zoom classrooms where parents find out what's being taught in schools, the incompetence government demonstrated in connection with dealing with the coronavirus, the seemingly blow with the wind kind of opinions and recommendations from Dr. Fauci and others in government, and the bludgeon they use against us, COVID-19 generally speaking, to control and decide how it is, who stays open, who doesn't. See, this is the kind of thing that ultimately, you know, lands in your lap. You know, it's when they finally come for you, you know, you've been screaming and yelling about get those guys, cancel those guys. Well, you know, you're going to be in the crosshairs at some point. And a lot of people ended up in the crosshairs. I think of all the small businesses that got shut down because some, you know, leader decided that you weren't relevant. You weren't important. You weren't necessary for the economy. Home Depot, necessary. Smaller, hardware store, no, I'm sorry, sucks to be you, shut down. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, you know, this is the kind of thing that the people start, and even if they're in favor of vaccines, like, whoa, this is taking it to the next level. And I'm thinking that the vast majority of those folks out there that are unvaccinated probably are unvaccinated because they just don't like to be told what to do. You know, I would have gotten one until fill in the blank. I would have gotten one until they threatened my livelihood over it. You mean to tell me you're not going to allow the idea of natural immunity to trump the need for a vaccine? You're not going to follow the science on that one? I'm going to lose my situation over that? Yeah, there's a lot of independents out there that finally decided, you know, no. I finally realized that government is not the solution. Get out of my life. No question about Republicans in this poll, but it went up. More Republicans now reject government intervention. Went from 74% last year to 80%. Now, over on the Democrat side of the ledger, they love government control of lives. I guess, you know, maybe Democrats are just lazy. I don't know. But there's still more people that are in the Democrat Party that think there should be less government than there were last year. Went from 13% to 18%. And, you know, last year was the second time in polling history for Gallup. They've been asking this question for 29 years. Last year was only the second time that at least half of Americans supported a greater active role for government. The only other time, and look, last year what? It was COVID. You could easily point to that. You know, big problems like pandemics require government solutions. Last time it was 9/11. Yeah, the week after 9/11, they did the same poll. And, of course, we were all unified around the fact that we had been attacked by some cowardice, religiously motivated, well, I won't use the FCC noncompliant words this morning, but we all rallied around the flag, we rallied around our country, and it was at least a moment of unification that we haven't seen really very much since then. So, people are waking up. At least if you listen to the Gallup poll. 527 right now, 55 Care City Talk Station. Got some local stories coming up. Your phone calls are welcome, though. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, or just go #550. #531, coming up at #532. Happy Thursday. Got some local stories. I don't know what the hell it is with some people. When you read an article like this, local story here, thanks to the Enquirer, Quinlan Bentley reporting on it. But it's like, what goes through your mind? You know, what are you thinking? And I'm talking about a Westchester-based chiropractor has now been suspended from practicing for 6 months after he sexted his patients. Consent agreement signed earlier this month. Nicholas Mirthland, owner of Mertland Chiropractic, admitted to the Ohio State Chiropractic Board that he sent nude photos of his genitalia to multiple patients via text. At what point in someone's brain does that sound like a good idea? Where do you reach the moment in your critical thinking where you take a picture of your junk and send it off to people who pay you to help them with their back? Lord Almighty. Anyway, part of the agreement reached in place of a formal disciplinary proceeding. His chiropractic license, again, suspended for 6 months. He's now required to undergo a comprehensive psychological evaluation. He sent images to six patients. Not clear when the incidents occurred. Allegations brought against him in April based on admissions he made to a board investigator. Board said Mertland's conduct, quote, exploits the doctor-patient relationship in a sexual manner, close quote. Really? Also points out he failed to maintain professional boundaries when interacting with his patients via text messaging. Oh, yeah, that's putting it mildly. They said he was cooperative during proceedings. Well, great. According to documents, he also admitted to the investigator that he asked a patient if her breasts were real. Mertland's attorney not immediately available for comment. After suspension, he'll be on 3 years probation. Board may prohibit him from contacting patients via text or from treating patients at his home if deemed necessary. I'm sure that's going to bode well for his future chiropractic business. Aren't you that guy?
Here
yeah.
Is the biggest douche of the universe. In all the galaxies, there's no bigger douche than you.
Just pull my pants down, get my cell phone out.
The pinnacle of douchedom. Good going, douche. Your dreams have come true.
Unbelievable. In other related news, unrelated rather, geez, I'm sorry I said related. Nothing is related to that in local stories. Driver airlifted to hospital, severe injuries. This after a crash on Burlington Pike yesterday afternoon. Boone County Sheriff's Office letting us know that officers were dispatched to Burlington Pike at Arrow Parkway about 4:40. The report of a collision with extrication. Preliminary investigation found the driver of a 2016 Toyota Avalon attempting to turn left from westbound Burlington Pike onto Oak Brook Drive when their car was struck by a 2020 Freightliner flatbed truck going eastbound. Freightliner truck had the green light when the Toyota's driver made an abrupt left turn in front of it. Deputies arrived at the scene to find the Toyota's driver unconscious. He was transported via helicopter to UC Medical Center with life-threatening injuries. That investigation is ongoing. Deputies estimated the road was closed for several hours. I feel very confident it's open by now. 5:35 right now, 55 Care CD Talks.
Can you play John the Fisherman?
Must be 5:40 on a Friday. The answer, yes, of course. Joe Strecker's working the board. Needs it. Gotta have it. Get you through the rest of the day. Maybe get you through the weekend. And without further ado, all right, you be the judge. I got a broad mind when it comes to stuff like this, but I think this may be a touch beyond the pale. You decide. Go back to 2003, a guy named John Ciesling beat his mother and teen sister with a baseball bat, then stabbed him with a kitchen knife in their Walker, Michigan home, then before turning the blade on his own six-year-old sister, who began crying after she discovered the prior murders. Fast forward 20 years, the owners of the home decorated their yard for Halloween in the following way. Three gravestones surrounded by police tape with a baseball bat, evidence marker near the porch. Front door decorated with silhouettes of people, bloody handprints, and the word "Help Us" written in red. The front window also has images of bloody handprints and splatter. Amanda apparently resides there, didn't want her last name used because, of course, you know, social media. She said she grew up in that house, and it's been her family's possession for years. She didn't understand why neighbors are outraged over the scene, saying It's a Halloween decoration. Speaking with a news outlet there, she says she still remembers cleaning up the blood after the investigators complete and work at home. See the Seaslings, that John Seasling guy who was the murderer, rented the home and were friends of this woman's family when the murders occurred. She points out everybody up there knows what happened at the home, and just she said she can just mention her address and people will raise their eyebrows. She said sometimes people drive by, they go slowly, they stare, they point, sometimes yell some things. And she says, we know some people might look and say, oh, my God, oh, my God. This is my way of saying, hey, we are well aware. Stop screaming at us when you're driving past my house. So, that John Seasling guy, apparently 17 years old when he murdered his 42-year-old mother, hit her on the head with a baseball bat and then slit her throat, did the same thing to his 15-year-old sister and then the 6-year-old. Amanda, the current resident, said the display was not intended to hurt anyone, and she said that it even helped bring closure to her daughter, who was a friend of the 6-year-old that got murdered. She said, hey, that family that lived there, that family was our friends. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen. Lee was a friend of my daughter. We went to their funerals. So, that's an interesting, still probably a little bit beyond the pale, anyhow. We got Chantilly, Virginia. Fairfax County Police say a 22-year-old guy is now in custody after sneaking into the Chantilly High School and sexually assaulting a student. Investigators say they identified two other victims who reported similar incidents away from school property. Police are concerned there may be more. Investigators say Galata Beckley Bengessa of Fairfax was wearing a mask when he entered the school with the students. They say Bengessa approached the girl who believed he also was a student and began talking to her. Fairfax, when he allegedly groped her, the girl got away when other students approached. Another victim contacted her mother, went to the home. Police searched the area and conducted around the school, picked up Mr. Bengessa near the parkway. When they talked to him, he reportedly, quote, made statements that prompted the police to take him into the hospital for treatment. Charge him with abduction by force, sexual battery, and trespassing on school property. Those with information are encouraged to call the cops. So that's going around all over the place in schools. See what Corey's got on the phone here. Hey, Corey, happy Friday. Welcome to the program.
Happy Friday, Brian. Hey, a quick COVID vaccine-related story I want to share. My wife got diagnosed with cancer a week ago, so we went to the chemo doctor for the first time yesterday, and they asked all the questions. And, of course, one of them was, have you gotten a shot? And they asked, will you receive the shot? And my wife told them no. And in the same place, the same doctor's office, there's people literally get chemo treatment at that time, and the chemo doctor said, good, he wouldn't recommend anybody getting the vaccine. I thought that was, that's just, you know, screamed, you know.
Yeah.
For somebody that you know, knows what infection can do to somebody with low immune system due to chemo treatment. Said it was not a good idea to get the vaccine.
Well, and so see, now you have a medical reason, or at least she does. And from the bottom of my heart, I feel terribly for you with the cancer diagnosis, and I wish her the best of health and speedy recovery. There's a lot of groups out there, support groups and others, to the extent you need them. But welcome to the club that nobody wants to belong to, Corey. But at least you have a doctor telling you that it's the right thing to do to not get, in her case, the vaccine. And to the extent she is confronted with down the road after her recovery and she's back to work, out and about, she might have a doctor's note saying, no, I have cancer and I'm getting treated and I was specifically told not to get it for those particular reasons. That should carry a lot of weight in the world, but sadly probably won't. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate the call. We'll all keep her in our prayers and you. 546 right now, 55 Care City Talk Station. Word for EcoShield. It's a great product, and I have a current EcoShield test going on in my home. Got the bathroom all scrubbed, and, you know, everybody's home when, you know, the bathroom's at home, a haven for moisture and everything, and you get that little moldy corner right there on the grout in the bottom in the corner of the shower, and, you know, you scrub it with your bleach, and it disappears, and then lo and behold. Five 552 about KCD Talk Station. Tech Friday with Dave Hatter coming up at 6:30. Always interesting, informative. Always have a good time talking with Dave. And I love doing the Stack of Stupid. We're going to call him a local guy, but local enough. Go to Chillicothe, Ohio for this one. Sheriff's Department there. On the 13th, we're dispatched to Winchell Cemetery on Sugar Tree Road concerning a male who explained that his skin was melting off.
What?
Yeah, wait for it. Upon arrival, deputies made contact with a guy sitting on the ground inside the cemetery. He appeared to be naked, but was covering himself using his jean shorts. Man identified himself as Michael Stanley Jr. and told the cops that he recently used methamphetamine. He requested the squad be transported to, I guess, the local hospital facility. Scioto Township EMS showed up on the scene and medically checked him out. He then refused to be transported to the hospital for further medical treatment. He was placed in hand restraints that were double locked and checked for fit and transported to the Ross County Jail by Sergeant Crozier. He was issued a summons for disorderly conduct, intoxication, ordered to appear in court on the 29th at 9 a.m. Released into the custody of the jail staff. All right, accused auto burglar told the police that he broke into a vehicle so that he could, quote, see his imaginary girlfriend, Emma, close quote, with whom he visits while tripping on meth. This is in Florida. This is the second methamphetamine story. Although, you know, it's nice to see one in Ohio. The guy's name, Matthew Huber, arrested after witnesses spotted him attempting to burglarize a Nissan truck parked outside the Walmart in Vero Beach. Got to have a Walmart in here with this one, Joe. It's methamphetamine.
As is tradition.
During police questioning, Huber reportedly admitted opening the vehicle's tailgate looking for something to take. He explained that he intended to then sell those things for some meth so he can see Emma. He explained to the cops that he was attempting to get the vehicle to see his imaginary girlfriend, Emma, adding that he only sees Emma again while he's tripping high on meth. Arrested for burglary carrying a concealed weapon, which was a butterfly knife, during the commission of a criminal defense. Booked on a $10,000 bond and two felony counts. Rap sheet includes convictions for grand theft, robbery, narcotics possession, shocking, and possession of drug paraphernalia, also not shocking.
The aristocrat.
You know it, man. I think we can get one more in here. Naked guy, 71-year-old man. Well-timed, Joe. 71-year-old man arrested in New York City for alleged incidents at Myers Park, Barclay Downs, and Chantilly neighborhoods in Charlotte. Man, I arrested after alleged incidents in a couple of neighborhoods. Parents and teenagers said this naked guy tried to lure teenage girls into his car. Again, 71-year-old Ronald Michael McLean Sr. arrested after the police issued a warrant for his arrest. Facing charges after parents in the Charlotte neighborhoods of Myers Park, and I mentioned the others, saw a naked guy tried to lure them into their cars. He's been charged with indecent exposure, indecent liberties with a child, which authorities explained were the result of him exposing himself to a child. Local news spoke with several of the families of the teens, all from different parts of Charlotte. They all described the same guy, same car, asking the girls to come close, and at least in two of the instances, the teenagers claimed the man's private parts were exposed. He's a recidivist. Every single one of the interviews involves the exact same description. Anyhow, if you've been a victim, you want to get in touch with Lieutenant Steve Frischbach of the Charlotte Police Department.
Not a dude.
No, yeah, it's too late. You are. 556 55 KRCD Talk Station. 749-5500, 800-823 Talk. #550 on AT&T phones. Be back after the news, plus Tech Friday coming up at 6:30. I hope you can stick around.
When they say it,
cannot require someone to be vaccinated.
You'll hear about it.
Pandemic politics are making people sick.
On 55 KRC, the talk station.
606 at 55 KRC, the talk station. A very happy Friday to you. Made even happier because Tech Friday with Dave Hatter is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Always fascinating and quite, Orwellian in most cases. Anyhow, got a lot to talk about this morning. I see Dave's on the phone. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. Go to #550 on your AT&T phone. I just wanted to, quickly mention again, since I just went through it yesterday, my wife did, you got to get the COVID test kit. You have to get the COVID test before you can really go anywhere, right? So you want to go to a concert, you got to get a COVID test. Or proof of vaccine, or both, I don't know. So I went ahead and got the COVID test yesterday. I got the PCR test. It's going to take 2 days to get the results, roughly 1 to 2 days. And I stood in line for 30 minutes, had to make an appointment, had to go out of my way, go to a different pharmacy than I normally go to. There's one that's like within about 2 minutes of my house. That was our typical default pharmacy. And another one, a competitor literally right across the street, neither of which had any COVID test at all, none. And so my wife scheduled an appointment, and the closest place she could get the instant test was in Mount Healthy, and we are over in the Loveland area. So it was quite a drive, just considering that, you know, people keep having to get tests, and you hear it. You're either going to have the vaccine proof, or you're going to have to get tested, weekly testing. Well, it's going to be a little difficult to do for a lot of people, isn't it? I brought this up last time, particularly those among us who are not, flush with additional cash. Maybe you don't have the transportation. We hear about that all the time, transportation problems. One of the reasons people voted for the bus levy, because, you know, some folks can't afford an automobile. Some people don't want one. Regardless of that, how are you going to get your COVID test if they're not in readily available supply? Also not in readily available supply, at least based upon anecdotal evidence passed along by my dad yesterday, who I had lunch with. Vaccines are not in big supply. With everybody rushing to meet the employer mandates, vaccines are not everywhere. And now folks are being told they need their booster shot. And with my folks being in that age group, they're following the orders and went out to get their booster shot. And they had to drive a pretty far piece to get one. And they were told by that particular person that was giving them the vaccine that they're tough to come by. The vaccines themselves. I don't know if it's a supply chain issue, a manufacturing issue, but, you know, you tell people you've got to do something in order to, like, participate in life, and it's virtually impossible to do it. Not impossible, but it's certainly far more of a hurdle, as I brought it up in the context of this voting law that Chucky Schumer's pushing for next Wednesday, the election bill, where they want to one-size-fits-all all of our state-governed processes. That they're forcing, the left mostly, is forcing so many people to go through all of these hurdles in order to participate in the day-to-day activities of life by getting a COVID-19 test, when the problem falls on those that are on the lower socioeconomic scale. Getting one, finding one, and having it paid for, because it isn't necessarily going to be paid or covered by insurance. It's just a reality. And then contrast that, as I did, with the voting laws that are in place and how easy it is for everyone to vote. Even in these evil Republican states, you can't find anything built into these laws, these protections to ensure the integrity of the vote, that in somehow disenfranchises only one color of person or group or ethnicity. These are the arguments that are made by the left all the time. You're disenfranchising African Americans. No, you're not. No. Show me how. And don't insult my African-American friends by telling them they're not capable of voting within 30 days when everybody else seems to be able to do it. Man, if I was black, I'd be pissed off about that kind of suggestion. I'd be screaming at a politician for insulting my intelligence. And real quick here before I get to Dave's call. Unrelated but important. Have you noticed what is the most dangerous city in the United States presently, the one with the highest number of people getting gunned down every week, gunfire? It's Chicago. And if it's not Chicago, Chicago's right up there. We all know that because we read about it. We see Lori Lightfoot in the news once a week at least, underneath the heading, you know, 50 people shot between Friday and Sunday in Lightfoot's Chicago. Well, they got a problem on their hands because they're a police officers union. The head of the police officers union earlier this week told the members of the union to refuse to comply with the city's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. That thing kicks in today, folks. Chicago Fraternal Police President John Catanzara posted a video on YouTube, quote, do not fill out the portal information. I've made my status very clear as far as the vaccine, but I do not believe the city has the authority to mandate that to anybody, let alone that information about your medical history. Police union happens to be engaged in a lawsuit against the city if the Lightfoot administration enforces the mandate, which requires all city workers to report their vaccine status by today or be placed on, are you ready, no pay status, which means you're still employed, you're just not paying for it. There's a position waiting for you, but you're going to have to comply in order to come back and get a paycheck. Catanzara, the union guy, said, it's safe to say that the city of Chicago will have, this is where the rubber really meets the road, folks, where Atlas is shrugging. The police union standing up to these edicts and mandates is going to create the following problem for Chicago, which is already struggling with one of the highest murder rates ever. Quote, it's safe to say that the city of Chicago will have a police force at 50% or less for this weekend coming up. The weekend coming up is this weekend. Beginning tonight. He said, I can guarantee you that no pay status will not last more than 30 days. There is no way they're going to be able to sustain a police department workforce at 50% capacity or less for more than 7 days without something budging. This is very clearly not a job action, he said. It's not a call for a strike. No, it's not. It effectively is one, though, isn't it? Because what's going to happen? The strike will be brought about by the city of Chicago enforcing its vaccine mandate, which will necessitate these officers staying at home. Sorry, you can't come to work. You are on no pay status. That is not a strike being called. The effect of not filling out the COVID-19 form results in the city's action of, in essence, placing them on administrative leave. But they didn't do it to themselves. You can make that argument. I would. They've got legitimate legal arguments against having to fill out this information in this portal. He makes the point about health records and the privacy of it. And a lawsuit will be pending that will probably ultimately resolve the question of whether the city can do this or not. It's going to be a while, though. Would you want to be, rhetorical question here, would you want to be a resident of the city of Cincinnati or a city of Chicago? And I was. We lived up there for 8 years, folks. And we lived in some pretty violent times. I'm slightly more violent in the 90s than it is even now. But there was a full contingent of police officers back then. This was before defund the police and police bad became the default motive or default statement from the left. Police were actually supported. The Clinton administration, remember, 100,000 more police officers on the street just passed my bill. It was something that they used to embrace. So while there were more murders back in the 90s when we lived there, there were a hell of a lot more police, or at least the police were around. How would you like, getting to my ultimate question, rhetorical, how would you like to be a resident of the city of Chicago with only 50% of the current police force out there and potentially maybe responding to your 911 call? Yeah, I know. Dave, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Well, that's a great setup. Thank you.
No problem.
I have a shout out for the teachers at CPS who do not want to get the Fauci ouchie, and a little bit of a warning to Mike Murawski, because Ohio Revised Code 3792.04, and anyone can look it up, I'll repeat it, 3792.04 of the Ohio Revised Code states that public schools, and I'm summarizing, states that public schools and public universities, colleges and such, cannot require any vaccination whatsoever and cannot treat disparately people who are vaccinated from people who are not vaccinated, meaning those who refuse to take the vaccine cannot be told they must produce the weekly testing. Not only that, but it violates HIPAA to say we need to know your status. We need your medical information. These people are breaking the law, and they need to be sued out of existence.
Yeah, that's what bothers me, and I haven't looked at 3792.04. I don't know what the case history of it is. I'm sure it's been brought up in other cases before, perhaps a civil suit or something. So ultimately, how it is applied, and if that is indeed accurate, your summary, it should have already been the subject of a lawsuit. We've been dealing with this for so long.
But the problem is this thing is relatively new because of coronavirus. That's the problem. It hasn't gotten a whole lot of publication. People who are going to public universities, especially the ones that are saying, hey, you got to have this, like UC, I think, said that, need to take a copy of this law with them when they register and say, no, and don't treat me differently, because if you do, you will not exist.
Well, I guess I would want to know what the penalties and fines and associated downside risk is for violating 3792.04.
Well, it hasn't been tried yet that I know of, but I think somebody needs to get a hold of Thomas Renz to see what the status would be if he were handling it.
Yeah, we'll look into it. I assure you that, Dave. And if, I mean, to the extent a legal argument exists out there, then it should be asserted. And maybe now is when the chickens are going to come finally home to roost. Maybe until someone has been treated disparately, you do not have a cause of action. And maybe that is ultimately what it is. You need to have the impact hit you, then you have standing to sue under whatever statute or whatever
exactly
legal theory. So.
So the teachers at CPS who are being told, get it or give us weekly testing, need to go in there with this double-barrel shotgun, one at the state level, one at the federal level, and make them stop.
Appreciate the call, as always, Dave. Stay well and have a great weekend. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, pound 550 on AT&T phone. Not too many minutes away from Tech Friday's Dave Hatter. At 55 Care CD Talk Station. Tech Friday with Dave Hatter coming up at the bottom of the hour. I did look up this provision that Dave brought up, 3792.04. David's happy about that. And there is no case law on it because it just kicked in on October 13th. That's like 2 days ago. This was House Bill 244, which got passed, and there's like this 90-day period in there. You got to wait for things to kick in, I believe. So, effective date, October 13th, 2021. And he has it right, except it is limited to, it's a prohibition on vaccine mandates. All right, so he's right. It's public school, city, local, exempt, village, joint vocational school district, community school established under a different chapter of the code, college prep, boarding school established under another section of the code, state institution of higher education. Says, notwithstanding, a public school or state institution of higher education shall not do either of the following. One, require an individual to receive a vaccine, and here's the salient of the really important part of it, for which the United States Food and Drug Administration has not granted full approval. Two, discriminate an individual who is described in the first section. So, if they come out with a full approval drug, this section, this provision of the higher revised code will not apply. So there's the limbo land we find ourselves in at present with regard to what Dave was talking about. But until such time, then I would argue, yes, you should print out a copy of this. And folks, it's really easy to find. Just type in capital O dot capital R dot capital C dot 3792.04, and it will, Ohio Laws and Administrative Rules page will pop right up, or it'll give you a choice to find it. Real easy to find. Question is how it's ultimately going to apply, and the debate still goes on, I guess, as to whether any of the drugs is still operating under emergency use authorization. And many people, I believe, think it is. I haven't seen anything to the contrary on that. So there you have it. There is a defense. Question is, how are our authorities, how are our lords and masters, how's the school board going to respond to this? Sean Hannity Morning Update coming up at 6:25 right now, plus Tech Friday with Dave Hatter after that, and after... It is 6:30 right there for the 55 Care CD Talk Station. It's Friday. Regular listeners know exactly what's going to happen right now, given the theme song music. And thanks to Intrust IT, you'll find them online at intrustit.com. Business Courier says they are the best IT services company in the greater Cincinnati area. And there, working at Intrust IT, brought to you this segment. It is Tech Friday with Dave Hatter. Dave, I hope you're having a good Friday.
So far, so good, Brian. I hope you and Joe and all your listeners are, too.
Yeah, only a few hours under our belt so far this Friday, but as long as things are going swimmingly so far, I really hope you have a great weekend. And the first one, the privacy reset, you flagged this Washington Post article about privacy settings. What do we need to know about this?
Yeah, so they did a nice job here of breaking it out into sections for different platforms and individual privacy settings, because as I'm sure you're well aware, Brian, we talk about a lot of stuff here. And one of the things that's difficult for people is how you change something on this device or this operating system or that IoT device is different than another. So, you know, a lot of times we sort of speak in general terms and, you know, you have to go then translate into your particular situation how to do whatever it is we're talking about.
Okay.
So
like,
here,
like for example, privacy settings on Safari are different than privacy settings on Google, or rather Chrome are different than Firefox, that kind of thing.
Exactly right. Now, I mean, you know, the concept is the same, but the specific features that you can enable,
right,
the screen that you need to go to do it, exactly what it says on the screen, you know, Firefox might say it one way and Chrome might say it another way, even,
sure,
though they essentially do the same thing. And I get that that's tricky for people. So in this Washington Post article, it kind of caught my eye because, you know, privacy settings have probably never been more important. These companies are making gigantic amounts of money off of you and your data and selling your data. And, you know, we've talked so many times about this before. One company out there claims to have up to 5,000 individual data points for something like 100 million users. You know, is that necessarily bad? No. But they're using this to influence you. They're using this to sell stuff to you. They're selling this data amongst each other and building ever larger profiles. And we see every day data breaches. You know, if Google has information and Amazon has information and Facebook has information, and they sell some or all of that to various data brokers who are buying it from various other people, you know, will those data brokers keep your data private? Are they doing all the right things to secure that data so it's not leaked unintentionally? You know, it's all that sort of stuff. So, you know, in general, the smaller your digital footprint is, the better for most people. And this article does a nice job of breaking down the privacy settings that you should, quote, change now, unquote, for Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Venmo. You know, Venmo, just as a reminder to people, is a popular payment app, especially with younger people. You know, my older kids, you know, who are now all in their 20s, use this thing all the time. I don't use it.
Yeah.
You may recall we did a story about Venmo where apparently President Biden has used this thing and it's had some privacy problems.
Yeah.
By default, when you buy things on there, the list of stuff is public. And I don't know, it just does some goofy stuff. I don't get it myself, but whatever. People use it. So if you go into this, you know, I'll just start with Google because Google and Facebook are probably the two biggest defenders of data collection. And a reminder, if you're not paying with money, you're paying with data, you are the product, not the consumer or the customer. So if you drill down into the Google privacy settings, you know, and they start out, I like this. If you only do one thing, start with the one setting that does the most to stop Google from tracking your search and browsing activity. Google products are privy to some deeply personal information about your life. For example, Google searches can leave clues about your illnesses, while its map tools can collect your comings and goings. And then they basically go through a sort of a step-by-step guide to how to change these different settings. You know, delete old activity is another one of the things. Lock down your profile. Hide product reviews. Again, I want to remind folks, because, you know, I don't think people who aren't nerds like me really fully understand that these companies want to collect every piece of information about you that they can, because the more data they have, the more money they can make, the more they can influence you. That's how they make their money. And to the extent you can limit that by using privacy-friendly browsers like Firefox or Brave or Tor or Safari, by using privacy-friendly browser or web search engines like DuckDuckGo rather than the Google search engine, you can essentially choke off the flow of information to them, protect yourself, have less attempts to influence you. I like to think, maybe I'm wrong, Brian, but I like to think that these things can't influence me. Maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. In fact, I have trained myself to consciously disregard most all advertising. I won't acknowledge yep. the left-hand and right-hand sides of the article that I'm reading. And if I do see it, I don't pay attention to it. I'm like, nope, that's a targeted ad. I move on. And I do my best to just ignore it.
So here's another tip from the Post.
In other words, not rewarding them. I will not reward them with my business.
I love it. I think everyone should do the same thing. So they go further here about Google and say, if you want to be extra cautious, don't use the Chrome browser if possible and opt for a more privacy-minded option like Firefox or Brave. I actually agree with the Washington Post. It's amazing.
It is. I use Firefox and DuckDuckGo because Dave Hatter told me to.
If you do use Chrome, stay signed out and consider a tool like Privacy Badger, which is a plugin for your browser from the Electronic Frontier Foundation that I also recommend to try to block even more stuff. So this is a good article. I know Joe put it out there on your blog.
Yep.
Again, it addresses Amazon, Facebook, and Venmo in addition to Google. So if you use any or all of those platforms and products to some extent, I recommend people check this out. And my advice would be to follow the advice here. You're going to, again, choke off the flow of data to these companies, provide a lot less information to them, and frankly, make your life a lot better in the long run simply because there's no telling where all this will go in another 10 years. Look at where we are today.
I know. Who'd have thunk, right? Who'd have thunk?
Right.
Dave, don't go away. We're going to be talking about what your car knows about you. Frightening? Plum-type plumbing is not frightening, though. And they never charge a service fee. It's 640 55 KRC, the talk station. A very happy Friday to you. Tech Friday is going on right now, thanks to Entrust IT. And, of course, thanks to Dave Hatter. You know, Dave, when I got my newer car after that guy killed my old one, the newer car comes with an option for an app. And yep. you have to kind of sign up for it, and then you have to download an app on your car. And, you know, wow, you can control the climate from your phone rather than from the climate control, which is right in front of you. Or other things, you know, find your car if you get it lost in the parking lot. I didn't go for it because Big Brother's watching. You know, track your mileage, your speed, everything's going up into the cloud with something like that. So apparently I'm right in my assessment.
You are right. Now, that's interesting that you mentioned that because we have a newer Kia SUV that has all that capability. And, you know, what you just said, Brian, I find so ironic because, you know, everywhere you go, don't text and drive. Don't use your phone while you're driving. But let me change the climate control on this car with the phone.
I know.
Reach over and press the button or change the radio station.
Yeah, it's like you can unlock your car with your phone. And I thought, well, I can unlock my car by touching the door handle with my finger. Your key fob in your pocket. That's the way mine works. You don't even need to touch it or hit unlock or anything. Not that hitting unlock was this major chore. Why do we need to put a phone in the middle of all of this?
You know, the remote start is cool, but other than that, I agree with you. Most of that stuff is just
remote.
I don't even know why you need this crap.
What do you need a remote start for? Are you a gangster? Are you afraid of a car bombing or something? You watch too many mob movies?
Exactly. You never know when the forces aligned against me, Brian, might strike so that I'm not on your show warning people of, you know,
Google is going to catch wind of your criticisms and they'll have the people that do all the murdering for the Clinton family come after you.
You never know. It's gotta have that remote start, park way down the street, you know? So anyhow, this is just one of those things too. It's indicative of where we are and where we're headed in society. Anything that has a computer in it is probably collecting some information by nature of what it does. And, you know, we keep adding more computers to everything, even when they don't make any sense, like your coffee, your smart coffee maker that you don't really need. But cars are, this probably isn't shocking news to anyone. For a long time, cars have had, quote, black boxes in airplanes, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's not really a new thing. That's been there for some time. And obviously, law enforcement can access that data in the event of a wreck or, you know, some type of criminal type.
Yeah, case. Well, they'll have probable cause and we'll have to get a subpoena to search your vehicle, which will include access to that box. But they have to go through the process.
They do. The bigger thing I think most people, though, probably may not realize, as you pointed out, is now the newest model cars typically come with some kind of app and they're infotainment slash navigation slash control centers,
right,
are, you know, basically computers. Most people realize they can connect their phone to it. You know, you can work the phone hands-free. You can do all this cool stuff. But of course, the car manufacturers then have the potential to collect all that information. And probably maybe even a bigger issue is when you no longer own that car, what happens to that information? Or worse, if you rent a car and you connect your phone to it, if it syncs itself with that device to make it more convenient to dial the phone and all those handy things that happen, what happens to that information when you turn the rental car in? So it's potentially a big problem, because a lot of research has been done on this recently. Now, apparently there's something called the Driver Privacy Act of 2015, and that regulates the data in the quote black box, unquote, but it doesn't have any sort of regulations whatsoever over the other types of information that your car might be collecting, which is basically almost everything that's happening in that vehicle at this point. In doing the research for this, Brian, I found an interesting story where a guy was charged with murder because while he was driving the victim's truck, apparently, he used the voice command thing, and they found the recording of it in the infotainment system. How about that? How crazy is that?
Wow.
So probably more interesting, though, is a guy who I'm a fan of, Jeffrey Fowler. He's a writer for The Washington Post. He's big on these sort of privacy angles. He does a lot of writing and research about this, and he dug into how much data are these cars collecting, these newer cars. He worked with some hackers, and he went out and got a Chevy Volt, 2017 Chevy Volt, and wanted to just see how much information is in there. Now, when he talked to a GM spokesman, a GM spokesman told Car and Driver, not him, nothing happens in terms of connected services without consumer consent, unquote. That's a direct quote from GM. And they, you know, they said all this stuff is being collected because it helps them, you know, enable safety features and that sort of thing, as well as improve the cars, which I get. That's, you know, a legitimate argument to some extent, right? You can figure out what people are using, what people are doing, and, you know, respond to that in the way that the cars work. So I can see the legitimacy of that argument. But basically, Fowler and his hacker friend went out and they bought one of these infotainment systems off eBay. So a wrecked car, you can buy this stuff right now if you go look.
Right.
And they were able to extract all kinds of information about the previous owner, including pictures of individuals that the previous owner referred to as sweetie, quote unquote.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting, and you know, this is not a GM only problem. Every modern car has these kind of capabilities, and to your point, now you're getting all these apps and so forth built in. So it's just a reminder to folks that your car is collecting an enormous amount of information about you, and you need to be smart about the information you're making available through it, especially. Well,
When you get rid of the car. And I was just going to put the exclamation point on it. You wouldn't just give away your old laptop with the hard drive and everything intact. That's exactly what you're doing when you get rid of your car. So figure out a way to delete it or go to your dealer or whoever to have that taken care of. Coming up, apparently remote start is a godsend for those who have to travel a lot and have their cars parked outside the hotel with 3 inches of snow 300 yards away from the hotel park or the room, okay? A nod to my friend Eric. And .651 if it's about their CD Talk Station. Happy Friday. Coming up after top of the hour news, Jennifer Gross, State Representative Gross, on whatever happened to the vaccine mandate legislation. In the meantime, Dave Hatter's on, and he's going to talk about swatting, which I viewed as a word to refer to corporal punishment, but that's not the kind of swatting we're talking about here, Dave. What's the story?
Not in this case. So for folks who haven't heard of this before, this has been a thing for some time, and with unfortunately deadly consequences. Some idiot somewhere got the great idea that it would be funny as a prank or as some kind of way to get back at their enemies to spoof a phone call to law enforcement and have them show up at someone else's house.
Oh, yeah, I do know about this. Yeah. They send the SWAT team over.
Yeah, so they, you know, they say there's some kind of, you know, domestic incident.
Yeah, gunplay. Kind of somebody's got a guy's got a woman with a knife to her throat. You better hurry up and get there, and they send the SWAT team over.
Yeah, so I think the first important reminder is it's very easy to spoof a phone call. So, you know, law enforcement shows up, kicks your door in because they think there's some kind of active incident going on. And in several instances, this has gone wrong because, like, the homeowner has no idea this is happening. They think they're under some kind of assault. A shootout happens. People get killed. It's unfortunate, but, you know, folks have been killed as a result of this so-called prank. Well, the folks who would do this kind of thing out there have realized that, hey, all those great IoT devices in your house would be another good way to initiate this kind of thing and potentially make it even more difficult for law enforcement to figure out who did it. And potentially, if it's a device like a Ring doorbell or a web camera or something that has a camera in it, they can actually sit back and watch while the chaos unfolds at your house.
Mm.
So as crazy as that sounds to people, I'm sure that sounds insane because, I mean, who would have thought that the Ring doorbell that you bought could potentially be used by someone who has a grudge against you or just some idiot out there to cause you to have the local SWAT team kick in your door and shootout incur. But basically, this is a warning from the FBI. So this isn't just Crazy Dave making this stuff. The FBI warned that they've been seeing incidences of this where hackers are using stolen credentials. So ding, 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 here's another important concept for people to remember. If you use the same username and password for multiple accounts, and any one of those accounts gets compromised, they can now access your other accounts. Also, we know people continue to use passwords like 123456 or the default password that comes on one of these devices. Hackers know all of these things. They found in some research that was done, they found that you can buy online, supposedly, Ring doorbell credential stuffing software. This is software that's designed to just keep jamming passwords at something until it gets a hit on one.
Oh, wow.
For as little as $6. That's not uncommon either, by the way. So the point they make, here's a direct quote from the FBI. Swatting may be motivated by revenge, used as a form of harassment, or used as a prank, but it's a serious crime that may have potentially deadly consequences, unquote. And then the FBI said again in this same statement, quote, as law enforcement responds to the residents, the offender watches the live stream footage and engages with the responding police through the camera and speakers. In some cases, the offender also live streams the incident on shared online community platforms.
Geez.
Yeah. So again, this is not something I'm making up. This isn't some doomsday day fantasy. This is the FBI warning people that you need to have a unique, strong password on all of the devices, systems, platforms that you use, because if the bad guys get one, the next thing they might do is access your Ring doorbell or some other type of IoT device in your house and send the SWAT team over and, you know, sit back and laugh while your door gets kicked in and, you know, see what might happen from there. So this is a serious problem and one of the reasons why I'm constantly bashing on this IoT stuff. You know, this stuff rushes to market. It's almost always inherently insecure out of the box. People don't know how to configure it right. They don't install updates when they come out. And then, as we say almost every week, Brian, the people that are doing this kind of thing, sadly, are very smart, very creative, and, you know, very dastardly. Who would have thought that the doorbell you bought, because you want to see when packages are left, you want to see who's your door, et cetera, could be used in a way like this?
Well, I would have because you talk about it all the time. That's why I don't have one of those. It's like a closed circuit system,
either.
You know, just have all the cameras hardwired to a hard drive, and you can always retrieve that footage if you need it.
There you go.
Access it whenever you want. Tech Friday, Dave Hatter, your notes will be on my blog page, 55KRC.com, and later in today, our conversation will also be on the podcast page. I really appreciate what you do for my listeners and me and keeping us up to speed on all of the nefarious purposes to which the Internet and Internet of Things can be used. It's a frightening, frightening world out there, but thankfully we're better educated because of your efforts. Thanks you to also to Intrust IT for sponsoring the segment at theintrustit.com. Until our next conversation, Dave Hatter, I hope you and your family have the best of health and enjoy your weekend.
Same to you and Joe and all your listeners, Brian, and as always, thanks for having me.
Take care, my friend. It's 6:56 right now, 55KRC, the talk station. Yeah, whatever happened to the vaccine mandate legislation? Representative Jennifer Gross returns right after the news. Stick around.
Halloween's fun for the kids.
Trick or treat.
But if you want real monsters, then look no further. 55 KRC, the talk station.
It's 7:06. Happy Friday to you. Brian Thomas right here, and glad to have on the phone, returning the 55 KRC Morning Show to talk about the current status of the House Bill 435, which you heard at the top of the hour news. Looks like it's dead on arrival. Welcome back to the program, Representative Jennifer Gross. Always good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Brian. Good morning.
As I understand it, House Bill 435 would allow religious, medical, or natural immunity exemptions to all COVID-19 vaccine mandates, with the exception of hospitals and intensive care units. So I have absolutely no problem with that. I guess I'm just wondering what the holdup is and why they won't even allow this to come out of committee and have a vote on it. Jennifer, can you give us an update, please?
Well, Brian, there are about three big issues with it. First of all, it does leave 40,000 healthcare workers on the battlefield. So it would not provide any exemptions for them. Remember that they were our frontline workers. Many of them already had COVID, and they aren't offered the natural exemption immunity. So they don't get that. Secondly, there were no passports spoken about in there. So if you wanted to go to a concert, a ball game, the grocery store, and they decide to make you have a passport and prove vaccination status, you would have to show, you could, I wouldn't say that they would do that, but you could be required to show a vaccine passport. However, if you needed to pay your license fees or whatever at the DMV, you would not need a passport. So you would not need a passport to pay your taxes and do all those things to the state and all that. So there, you know, we're going to get your money, but you can't go get your groceries. And then the third one is discrimination. And this one was a big issue to many members. And that is that if you didn't have a vaccine, then your child or you could be pushed over into a room. You could be isolated in an environment where you could be treated differently. And in schools, that's already happening in some schools where children don't mask. They're put in the back of the room, for instance, or made to get to the back of the line. Well, and because there was no, we didn't have a problem with the adults. You know, adults can make their decisions. But children in school and things like that, it was different. So those three things were major issues to the bill.
Okay, so it was wanting for extra protections that it got shot down, not because it protected people from the types of things you're referring to. I mean, because the general nature of religious, medical, or natural immunity allowing for those things, I think, are embraced by most sane-thinking people. You're just telling me that it didn't go quite far enough.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
That's fair. Now, but let me ask you this, because one of my listeners reminded me of this one this morning, and I had seen it before. I just forgot what it was. It's the pursuant to the House Bill 244, finally kicked in 2 days ago, October 13th effective day, which is ORC 379204, which prohibits the type of discrimination you're talking about already if, with regard to Food and Drug Administration's emergency approval vaccine. So if a vaccine hasn't been granted full approval, then no school, college, that state-related, higher institutions, education, et cetera, can discriminate against you or require you to take a vaccine as a condition of showing up. So at least that applies right now.
And that is for schools.
For schools, right.
But that was if it was only EUA,
right,
emergency use authorization. And since there is discussion, there have been Louisiana legislators and some others who have signed a letter saying that it actually was not FDA approved. But the general consensus is that the Pfizer vaccine has been FDA approved.
How can that be a consensus without a formal authorization from the FDA? That's like...
I die.
is...
I think, you know, there's an assumption a lot of times through the government, you know, I mean, people and then employers and people just assume, which is all often dangerous, as you know.
Well, that's when they call, like, governor edicts, when people say, well, it's the law. And you think, no, that is an executive order, and it has yet to be tested. And parenthetically, the governor doesn't have the ability to just arbitrarily tell you what to do. I mean, people just, they've been playing fast and loose with this for the last year and a half.
That's right. That's right. So it's been challenging. I want you to know, though, my discharge still exists for HB 248 in the clerk's office, and that the discharge of 248 would cover every Ohioan. I already had natural immunity in there, and so everything is covered with 248. What you probably don't know, yesterday they called, the health committee was called, emailed and told that we were going to have, well, I'm not on health committee anymore, but we were told that there would be a health committee meeting and HB 248 would get a seventh hearing. That happened about noon yesterday, and then my phone was blowing up from reporters I didn't know about. I was driving back from Columbus, and then I spoke to a reporter, and then at 6:30 last night, the speaker sent out a letter that said, you will cease and desist, and you will cancel the health committee meeting on October 19th. There were three other bills on the docket, but I suspect that it was because 248 was placed on the agenda for a seventh hearing. It was going to get a possible amendment or amendments and a possible vote out of health committee.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. The Days of Our Lives Ohio House version.
But you guys are, I mean, the last time I checked, the Republican Party runs the House and the Senate and has the governor's office in Columbus. So this is all dissension within the Republican Party. I mean, what is the problem with the vote? This is what really irks me. Obviously, there's enough folks in the committee that you've looked at it, you've made amendments. Maybe it's not the most perfect piece of legislation on the planet, but the committee's done with it. Bring it out. Let the record reflect where people stand on this. Among your Republican side of the fence colleagues are against that one, and what are the reasons for it? Why won't they let it out?
I'm not going to name names on the radio, Brian.
Bill Seitz?
I will tell you. What?
Bill Seitz? I can name names.
I'm going to let Bill answer for himself, but I'm sort of on, he's been on the hot seat, you know. 435 was killed in caucus. So there were a large majority of us with the three reasons that I told you. Me being, I am a combat veteran. I did my small part as a flight nurse. I personally do not want to leave, and nor will I leave healthcare providers on the battlefield. And when our healthcare providers have been required to work with COVID symptoms in the hospitals and told, as long as you didn't have a fever, you need to come to work, all during COVID, didn't leave us when we thought we were going to have a million dead Ohioans. And then all of a sudden, they have to lose their job if they don't get the jab, even though they may have natural immunity, they may have religious, you know, exemptions,
right,
those types of things. I feel that everybody ought to be covered.
Well, I agree with you, but I want to know where the disagreement comes from, because you make that argument, and it sounds fine to me, but you got somebody on the same side of the political ledger as you, and I know there are differences within parties, but you're talking to a fellow Republican who shall not be named by name. Their response to that is no, because why?
Goes too far. HB 248 is a bridge too far. You hear typical things like the bill sponsor won't work with anybody.
What does that mean? it goes too far mean? Goes too far in what respect?
Well, no.
Those are sound bites, Jennifer. No, those are sound bites. That's like saying, well, if you elect me, I'm going to bring the resources together and work with community activists and achieve the objectives. Well, what? What the hell is that? Tell me why they object to your proposal. I want to know why.
Okay, 248, if you recall, it required the schools to tell parents that they could exempt their children. Because right now, schools send out a letter, some, not all, but some send out a letter that says your child must have all vaccines or they cannot attend school. That has been false since the 1970s.
Right.
But, and they leave it there. Stop. Dead stop. But I wanted them to say, however, in the same size font, the bill specifically brings that out, your children may have one of these exemptions if you so choose. And everybody, including some local hospitals, said, you're going to make the world unsafe.
That's wrong. It is the state of the law as it currently exists.
Right.
They wish the law was something else. What you are doing is providing a complete, accurate picture of the reality of the law.
Yes, that's exactly right. And to me, when you only tell a partial truth, you're telling a lie. So I wanted, it was happening, it's happening all over the state. I wanted that in there. I would be willing to take out that whole section. I'd even be willing to change the bill to COVID only. And that's the second thing, Brian, and that is that the bill covers all vaccines. You don't want to get a hepatitis B. You don't want to get a hepatitis A. You don't want to get a flu shot. You don't have to. The bill covered everything. Healthcare workers have been required to get the flu shot since 2013. And there are some that didn't want to. I didn't really care because I always got it.
Yeah.
And now I realize why it's important to fight for all people's freedom, because now we're pushed over into this line of COVID. If we changed my bill to COVID only, I was willing to do that. If we took out the children exemption part, which would be sad, I would do that. The bill itself, honestly, Brian, all it did was take those exemptions we give children and have given children since the 1970s, pulled it all the way through our society in everywhere, every arena, and gave it to adults in the workplace and the government and everything. With the addition of no passports, it's less than 4 pages long. Read it as introduced. Now, when it became a sub-bill, it became 16 pages because I had to take out the AG. It has a prevailing clause, which is illegal. And so you'll hear the third thing is you hear people say it's unconstitutional. Well, you can't say that a bill, you know this, Brian, you can't, I should have taken this out before I dropped it. But anyway, you can't say that this bill will prevail till the end of time. You can't say that this will be a law for all eternity, right? You have a prevailing clause that says that nothing will ever supersede this bill, right?
Right.
So that has to go out. It's like two lines. It has to be scratched. Could easily be scratched on the floor. Change it to COVID only. Give exemptions to everybody. 3.5 pages. Boom. Done. And no discrimination, by the way. So,
if that was done, or if it was introduced as you currently described it, this sort of the revisions that have been, that pare it down, or the concessions that are made to appease those complaints that are raised, would there still be objections to it? Would Bill Sykes still say, well, okay, why?
Because we've got some really, 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 if you want to call them moderate, I mean, we've got one that told me once they wanted vaccines, that everyone to have to get the COVID vaccine to go to school or go to work in Ohio, and she's a Republican. So, I mean,
yeah, well, this transcends politics.
Yeah, you've got an extreme. But if we could get 50, it's my belief, honestly, Brian, we can't control the Senate, but as a House member, remember, we are the people's House, and it's our job to represent the majority of the people. So in my particular box, my inbox, I have a large, large majority people that want vaccine freedom and vaccine choice. And again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but to me, it's not about vaccines. It's not even about medical freedom. It's about freedom.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I'm not anti-vax either. I'm just, I just can't deal with the idea of a government being able to micromanage such important individual medical decisions.
Well, and Brian, that's the last thing. When you talk about micromanage and using government, some of the people in the caucus say that if we make a law like this, we're infringing on the individual freedom of business. And so that's a big issue. You know, it's we've crossed a line when it's a medical treatment. These aren't steel-toed boots. This isn't a hard hat. This is something that you can't remove from your body that clearly has risk. And it's a risk that if you believe the VAERS report, we call it VAERS. You know, we believe, if you believe the VAERS report set up by the FDA and the CDC, there have been over 15,000 deaths, unfortunately, from the vaccine. Those need to be vetted. But you can't just turn your back and say they don't exist. They must be addressed, and that's what a lot of people are very upset about. Every healthcare provider who has an adverse event related to these and any vaccine is required or should be. They are required by law. I will tell you that as a clinician, I didn't even know about the VAERS report. So how would I know to submit that a person died of a heart attack 2 days after they got the vaccine when they have no cardiac history?
Exactly.
How would I know to report it? Because I don't know it exists.
Yeah, and there are those that may not want you to report it. Jennifer Gross, Representative Gross, thank you so much for the time you spent in explaining all this to my listeners and me and the current status of affairs. I will look forward to having you on the program again, probably discuss the same kind of thing. But if there are other issues, you're welcome with that one as well. Jennifer, have a great weekend,
Brian.
And best of health to you and your family.
Thank you. You as well. Have a great day.
Thanks. 7:21 right now. Bye-bye. The Care City Talk Station. Yeah, I used up all my time with Jennifer. That's okay. At least we got the info out. And you know where everybody stands. You know, it's a delicate balance. You know, the little old libertarian in me, of course, believes in your freedoms and liberties, the right for you to choose the decisions in your world, in your life, and I think you should, and I think you should be responsible for that. That does go over to business owners. I believe in the freedom of business to operate their business as they see fit. Nobody rallied harder against the anti-smoking in restaurants mandate than me. Restaurants were free to ban smoking before the all-encompassing 100% unified ban against smoking indoors at restaurants would kicked in. I mentioned that friend of mine before that owned Anthony's Cigar Bar, put millions of dollars in that place, made it unbelievable for smokers, only smokers. That's all he wanted in his business. It was then 15% of the population. He didn't want the other group. He was told he was not allowed to run his business as he chose. But I'd err on the side of individual liberty and freedom insofar as the vaccine mandate is concerned for a variety of reasons. But you know what? If you let business owners decide, got to have a vaccine to work here, in this work environment where you can't find a single human being to take a job in spite of the fact that there are everywhere, I mean, I've seen nothing but for you know, positions everywhere, and they're paying $13.50 over at White Castle. $13.50. Did you ever think of a day when, you know, you get that kind of paid money for it's non-skilled labor? This is not an insult to anybody that works at a White Castle. God bless you. I'm glad you do. But I just drove by one yesterday, and it's like, well, there's one. Hey, you look across the street, there's a KFC, help wanted. There's a McDonald's, help wanted. Drive-through only. The reason they got drive-through only now is not because they don't want COVID-19 infected people in the kitchen or in the restaurants, because they don't have enough workers there to man the registers as well as cook the food and run the fast food carry outside. That's why you're seeing that. So jobs, 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 jobs everywhere. I had the Chicago Police Department union president telling the Chicago police, don't fill out the online card about your vaccine status. They're filing a lawsuit over it. And you know what's going to happen? If they push forward with their mandate, today is the day it kicks in. 50% of the Chicago Police Department will not be at work. They'll be on unpaid absence. Unpaid. 50% in the nation's most deadly city won't be on the job today. Now, do you think the vaccine mandate or the fill out the form mandate and all that is going to actually be implemented? Do you think they're going to follow through with telling these guys they can't come to work? No, I think they'll be backed in a corner. We can't have a city that's this dangerous with only 50% of the police department there. Hell, we already lost hundreds of officers because of the stupid anti-police protests. Yeah, the market has a way of working itself out, and you'd be backed in a corner requiring a vaccine mandate. What you want is someone who's just willing to show up and do a job. Chimney Care Fireplace and Stove for all your chimney needs and your fireplace. It's 7:31, coming up on 7:32, 55 Care CD Talk Station. Been talking to a lot of folks about the Empower You America empoweryou.org website, and of course the Empower You seminars. Thanks again, as always, to Dan Regnall to Frame USA, where the Empower You studios are. That's 225 Northland Boulevard. To next Tuesday, October 19th, happy birthday to my sister on that day, at 7 p.m., there's going to be a sponsor, or there's going to be a class on backyard birds by my guest today, Tim Coates. Tim, welcome to the show, man. It's great to have you on today.
Brian, an absolute privilege to be on with you. Thank you.
Well, and I love the fact that I see the Wild Birds Unlimited. Everybody loves hummingbirds, but what about all the other wild birds? You know, I love hummingbirds. We put a hummingbird feeder up every single year. I just think they are the coolest, funniest little things out there, and so I get a big kick out of them. And there was a period of time where we used to put regular bird feeders out, you know, for the cardinals and the finches and everything else. It just got to be a bloody mess, and then it ended up attracting deer and other animals, so we kind of backed off on that. So a couple of questions. What should we be looking for, and is there a way around the problem that we face, Tim?
Yes, absolutely. Wild Birds Unlimited, we have solutions. That's one of the things we do. You know, our number one selling blend in our store is called No Mess. It's pure food, no shells, no holes, no nothing. When the feeder's empty, it's empty. It's gone. Anything that accidentally falls in the ground, the birds normally find it, pick it up, take it away with them. And it's been our best seller now for probably close to 20 years.
It's called No Mess.
No Mess Blend. There's a couple of three different types that you can pick from, but they're all pure food. No shells, no holes, no nothing.
How about that?
Instead of sunflower, you get sunflower chips. And, of course, sunflower is always your number one seed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a pet green cheek conure. And
yeah.
And she, of course, just absolutely loves the sunflower seeds, but she's got to crack them up.
Sunflower, you know, so.
That's true. That's true. Now, there's just an amazing array of birds around. In fact, there is, I believe it is a blue heron that kind of floats around our neighborhood. We see them from time to time.
Big bird.
Yeah, but, you know, when I think of blue heron, I think of Florida.
Yeah, about a six-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
And we've got more than our share around here. If you go, for instance, Winton Woods, those kind of places, they have a whole rookery there of great blue herons. A lot of people are amazed to find out they actually nest in the trees. You know, you think that bird would be, you know, along the lake shore somewhere having a nest. Nope, nope, nope. They're way up on top of the trees up there. And they group together, and it's called a rookery. And, Winton Woods has got a big one over there.
How about that? And then, of course, what I'm always amazed by, and I don't know if there's any way to attract them other than putting small terriers out in the backyard or wiener dogs or something, but the eagle population has really blown up. And that, to me, is just the most amazing thing because, you know, my age, I remember the early 70s and the current screams about DDT. Bottom line is the eagle population have been devastated.
I just read an article about a year ago. In 1979, there were four confirmed bald eagles nests in the entire state of Ohio. Today, we have over 700.
Isn't that cool?
Confirmed. Yes, it's just wonderful.
And you can see them around here. Like I hear from folks that paddle along the Little Miami, you know, they rent the canoes and things. There are nests around, and a lot of people know where those nests are, and they'll take their binoculars and go over and check them out from time to time. You know, they're bird watchers.
Yeah, absolutely.
But golly, there is nothing more amazing than a bald eagle.
Can I get back to your hummingbirds for a second?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of rambling on about
it. I'm going to tell you my favorite 12-month-a-year recommendation to people, and it's with hummingbirds. I tell people, pick out the hummingbird feeder you like, and if you have any kind of a window at all, get a suction cup bracket and suction cup it to your window. I love this for three reasons. Number one, you know how tiny they are.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
want my hummingbirds 40 feet out in my yard. I want them right at the window, and they love coming to a window. Absolutely love it. I don't know why, but they always have.
No kidding.
Secondly, they don't like big birds, so if you have big bird feeders in your backyard, that's big bird area. Hummingbird area at the window, you give them that separation, and they really appreciate it. And thirdly, the cool thing is, you know, all that is sugar water in that feeder.
Right.
If the ants find it, the ants are all over it. Hummingbirds hate ants on their feeder. They hate it.
They
Guess
do.
What? Ants don't do windows.
Oh!
I don't think you'll ever see an ant go across a window.
That, you know, that's why we've got you, Tim, giving out the good advice. Because, you know, I've got one of those... little bucket, yeah, the break in between the hooks, you know, so the ants have to go, would crawl down and crawl up and go through. And bottom line is you put a teaspoon of vegetable oil in it, and they can't ever make it down to the bird feeder. But you got to clean that out when it rains. The vegetable oil gets on your bird feeder. So it's a mess.
And there are things like like ant traps and things like that. I tell people, why bother? Suction cup it to your window. You don't have to worry anymore.
Learn something every single day. Yeah. Of course, what else are you going to be talking about at this special seminar? Again, it's Tuesday, October 19th, folks, 7 p.m. If you want to see it live, go to 225 Northland Boulevard. Go to empoweryouamerica.org for all of the events, the times. And that's where you will log in to watch and hear and listen to what Tom Coates has to say about birds. But what are some of the other topics you're going to be dwelling on?
It's a real honor to be going there. Empower You is a wonderful organization. Oh. I recommend it to anybody. And I'm looking forward to doing a presentation there.
Definitely. So what else generally are you going to be talking about? Just things like this throughout the entire presentation? Or do you have some topics specifically?
Backyard bird feeding tips. You know, I tell people, for instance, you can get 50 to 70 different species in your backyard, you know, most of which you will not see unless you put a feeder out there, you know, entice them to come in out of the woods, that kind of thing. Some of us are just crazy like that. I have 7 feeders in my backyard. I love the song. I love the color. I love the antics. I love the insect control, which a lot of people don't even think about.
Oh, that's
true.
You
build up your bird population. You got a lot of insect control going on.
What about, okay. All right. Let me throw you a curveball, Tim.
Sure.
And I know you know the answer to this question. At least I'm guessing you do. You already figured out and solved my ant solution with the window mount. What about the squirrels?
We've got several solutions for that.
Great.
The first thing we tell people, if you can get a good pole system in your backyard, and with our pole system, we have an exclusive system at Wild Birds Unlimited. It's any number of arms that you want, any height that you want. You think about it in your brain, we can create it. And then you get yourself a good baffle on there, a squirrel baffle, or better yet, a squirrel and raccoon baffle, because, you know, everybody's got those wonderful 3 o'clock in the morning guys that you never see that'll climb these poles and try to get to the feeder. So that's what you do there. That's number one. Number two, get a good squirrel-proof feeder, and I always caution people. There are about 6 dozen so-called squirrel-proof feeders on the market.
Yeah.
5.5 dozen of them are not. Okay, go to Wild Birds Unlimited. You know, we've got the ones that, you know, are about 99.5% effective. And then lastly, and I hesitate to say this, but I've been saying it for years, so I have to bring it up. You can feed straight safflower. Safflower is part of the sunflower family. It's a white seed, which surprises people because sunflower is black and safflower is white. Your cardinals love it. Your songbirds like it. Sparrow families like it. Guess who doesn't like it? Squirrels and blackbirds.
Oh.
Now, the reason I hesitate is there's a nationwide shortage of safflower.
Right now.
We're down to like 25 bags a week is all we get.
I normally order
50 to 60 bags a week. So right now and for the near future, safflower is in very short supply.
Okay.
So when that comes back into fruition, you know, if you really hate the squirrels and the blackbirds, go with the safflower. I have hundreds of people that buy normally nothing but straight safflower.
All right, and let me brace my help my listeners prepare to perhaps gird their loins. Inflation's hit everything. Supply chains have been a real problem, as we all know. We don't need to rehash the whys and the wherefores. It's just a fact of life. Food, you know, there's a lot of empty shelves at Kroger because they're not getting their deliveries. How is it with Wild Birds Unlimited insofar as just bird seed generally is concerned, ignoring the point you said about safflower?
Well, amazingly, we were very fortunate. COVID did us no disservice at all. We kind of suffered what I say under the Lowe's Home Depot effect. You know how their business skyrocketed during COVID?
Yep.
Well, people are staying home. They have new offices at home. They've got feeders out back. They want to be able to see the feeders. They want them full. So, you know, our business actually has done very, very well, and that's probably why there's a shortage of safflower right now.
Okay.
But right now we're getting mostly all the seed we can need at this particular point. On occasion, something comes up short, but not very often.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Tim Coates, he'll be doing a whole lot more on birds. Who are the backyard birds, and how can you attract them? And how you can deal with the squirrels, what to feed them, all of that, Tuesday, either be at 225 Northland Boulevard right before 7 p.m. when the thing kicks off, or be online at empoweryouamerica.org. And again, salute and thanks to Dan Reginald, generally speaking, for all the Empower You. I agree with Tim completely. Great, great idea and great courses, not just Tim's, but all of the courses. So, good luck with the sales. It doesn't sound like you're doing too bad at Wild Birds Unlimited. You're at the Forest Park location, correct?
Kemper and Winton. I'm kind of tucked back. You have to kind of look for me. But Kemper and Winton, if you can find that in Forest Park, you can find me.
Fantastic, and I'm sure folks will. Tim, it's been great talking with you, man, and thanks for the tips.
Brian, you're the best, and I thank you very much.
My pleasure. Anytime, my friend. Thank you. 741 coming up on 742, 55 Care City Talk Station. A good time for me to mention the Landing Event Center. Loves me the Landing Event Center.
Halloween's fun for the kids.
Trick or treat!
But if you want real monsters, then look no further. 55KRC, the talk station.
He does know. He is the plant man. He is Ron Wilson. We listen to him every Saturday morning when we're at home because he's got the nationwide greatest gardening program on the planet, and we're fortunate here at 55 KRC, the talk station, to get Ron in the spring and the fall on Fridays at this time to talk about gardening and get ourselves the hell away from politics and prepare with a smile on our face for the weekend. Ron,
of course,
welcome
you could
back.
Listen when you're not at home.
Stream it. Yeah,
yeah,
of course.
Download your
podcast
app.
It after the show's over, yeah. Anytime you want. Yeah,
You could be in France or wherever and still get up and listen to the...
That, you know, to this day, when I'll get a buddy of mine, will call me from when I used to practice in Chicago or something. He'll be listening. You know, a friend of mine will be listening in Chicago. I got fraternity brothers. Like, one guy lives in Cleveland. He listens. Laura Marsh, she used to be manager over at Capitol Grill. She used to do our listener lunches we would have there, and she was always a great hostess and friend of the show. She listens from Florida still.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So
it's just cool.
You
get emails and you're like, where are you?
Yeah,
you
know, well,
I'm in such and such state, and you're like,
but you're syndicated. So to me,
yeah, but some of them are on the radio stations that were syndicated, and many of them are on the ad. Just pick it up, find a gardening show on the app,
yeah,
and then stick with it, and yeah. Kind of neat.
So. I think it's just, anyway, I'm revealing my age, but also just sort of still the wow factor that it is this modern technology we have these days. So
saw a great picture of you this week on the 75 billboard.
Yes, for those who might drive by the I-75 billboard of me, I don't look like that anymore. A picture was taken 15 years ago. As the old, adage.
It gave me a little chuckle.
Well, I know, because compared to that, it looked like one of those written hard, put away wet kind of scenarios.
Well, they never get updated. You know, you get a picture
clearly
taken 20 years ago. When I had a flat top for 25 years.
You did.
And that picture still shows up on stuff. It's like,
I know.
Ron Wilson's, and it's like, where did you get that picture?
Yeah, well.
I mean, I haven't had a flat top in I don't know how long.
I have more crow's feet now. I have gained some weight, and my hair is longer.
We've all done that, but yeah.
15 years of excess wear and tear.
I gave me a chuckle.
I know.
I said, hey, there's Brian.
I think it's embarrassed because, if that's the only picture that anybody's ever seen of me, they'll listen to the program, they think they're going to run into me and see that. And like, what the hell happened to you?
Well, you don't look at all like I.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know. Face for radio.
Do you get that when you go out there? I'll get that all the time. Folks will say, well, you don't look at all what I thought you were going to look like.
Yeah.
I said, well, what do you think I was going to look like? I don't know. But you don't look like what I thought you were going to look like. Well, what did you think? I don't know, but
I've ever really got anybody respond to the really, well, what did you think I was going to look like? They expected somebody taller and heavier. Like, I'm 5'10", so there you go, kind of average height.
Yeah.
So, but I am heavier now than I had that conversation, but I just blame COVID for that.
It just creeps up on you as you get older.
It does. It does.
It's harder to get rid of, too.
Oh, I know.
I mean, I look today, and I weigh a lot more today than I have in a long time, but I look today, I drink less alcohol than I used to. I eat less at each meal than I used to, and the weight just stays there.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. It's like, and I'm still physically working and doing stuff. So, I don't know. It just gets harder.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I tend to drink more and eat more.
And you have your spooky Twinkies.
Guy got his Twinkies. Ron's got this thing going with Twinkies. It's
Chuck
one of the
Ingram
other
and I.
Chuck Ingram. So it's now Twinkies with Scream filling.
Scream filling.
So he brought those for you, or did you bring them for him?
No, he got them first.
He got them first.
Whoever can find them first and get them in here, kind of wins.
So anytime there's something weird that Twinkie lets
we
go,
we both
comes
look
to
every time we go to the grocery store to see if Twinkie's got a new updated Twinkie.
All right.
So it's a long story to this. I gave him a baking Twinkie baking kit that you can bake your own Twinkies.
Okay.
from a long time ago. It's never been open. It's this huge kit. It's got little pans and everything, and you can make your own Twinkie. So,
it's never been open?
Never been open.
Is that on purpose, or did you find it insulting that he didn't bother taking you up on your
kind
gift?
No. Somebody gave it to me a long time because they knew I liked Twinkies.
Oh, I understand.
And found this thing that was, you know, and then something I used to sell a long time ago.
I got you.
And I said, Chuck, I want you to have this thing. So it's in his office, and, you know. So, anyway.
Well, I guess where it should be.
There you go.
What's the deal with more acorns?
Well, there are mashed years. They call those mashed years, where the acorns, 1 year or 2 years. You don't seem to have so many, and then 2 years later, all of a sudden, they're cyclic. They'll do that. And it can be weather pending as well. And some acorns, some trees take 2 years to form those acorns. This happens to be a year that we were having a good mashed year for them. So, yeah, we're seeing a ton of acorns everywhere, which is a good thing.
I was going to say, that's
for wildlife.
Yeah, the wildlife love it.
They love it. And, you know, what's an interesting old fact that I never thought of, and I read this a long time ago. When I was doing some looking up on the mast thing of acorns and all, was the fact that it correlates with tick populations the following year can go up when you have the years of heavy acorns.
So this is a heavy acorn year, so next year's a tick year.
Yeah,
great,
so why would that be? Well, the rodents that feed on the acorns obviously have a lot more food to eat, so the populations go up. It goes hand in hand.
Sure.
So next year we would have more mice and more smaller critters that enjoy, you know, having that particular critter as one of their hosts. So that typically the ticks will also go up in population as well.
That's
as
great.
Their populations go up. Not a big deal. I mean, you know, but it's interesting how all these things work together. But yeah, for the turkeys and all the critters and the deer love acorns. So this would be a good year for them.
Squirrels are big with acorns.
Squirrels are having a grand old time right now.
So that means the eagle population should increase.
So then the hawks and eagles should go up because you know start to see more squirrels. So.
I had a conversation this morning with Tim Coates from Wild Birds Unlimited. He's doing a seminar on Tuesday for Empower You on birds and everything. And I brought up the eagle population because you know all the different birds that we have in the region. And you know I remember as a kid the eagles were going to be extinct in no time. And he pointed out a fun fact. 1979, there were 4 nesting pairs, and now there are more than 700 or 800 nesting pairs in Ohio alone.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Which is just awesome.
You go along the Little Miami River, you'll see them there. You know, I told
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mentioned that to him.
Well, I told you we had one at the nursery this past late winter, early spring.
Did you?
It was a single, and he was there for probably 2 or 3 days, and we were hoping that maybe it was going to be a couple that were going to, because we have the four lakes there. And there is a kind of a creek that runs through there. We were hoping maybe they would kind of settle
in. Put a nest, yeah.
But what an awesome sight, because somebody happened to notice this huge bird sitting up in one of the trees and got to look and took a picture and blew it up and said, oh, my God, it's an eagle. And it was pretty cool. So, yeah, and he hung around for just a couple, 3 days, and then he was gone. We never saw him again, but he was huge. But you just, you know, once you saw them and you realized what it was, you're just like, yep, that's
an eagle. Majestic. And I one of the reasons I love Cincinnati Zoo, I'm sorry, Cincinnati Botanical Gardens and Zoo. You can get so close to one, you actually have a full appreciation for how freaking big those things are.
Huge. So when they grab a small child or whatever,
you can
understand why they, you know.
Chihuahuas, terriers, most terriers.
But seriously, out in the mountains and where, you know, lakes and stuff where they live naturally, think of the big critters that they do pick up.
Yeah.
And the fish and things like that. So, yeah, pretty cool. So we were hoping that one was going to stick around, but he didn't. But it was pretty interesting to see him.
All right. Well, on a more negative note, you see this?
What's that?
The bumblebees.
Yeah, it's been happening for a while.
Yeah, I know, but now it says the American bumblebees are now no longer in 8 states.
8 states, yeah.
But they said they're getting squeezed out in part by honeybees.
The article
did, anyway.
Yeah. Again, it's all back to the habitat.
Sure, pesticides, lack of habitat, all of that.
Well, that's habitat's still the biggest factor. Pesticides play a major role in there, too. But of all the disappearances of all the pollinators out there, including these bumblebees, is the fact of just the lack of habitat, and we continue to decrease that. But, Brian, on the back of my notes here, the last thing I have down here is talking about planting for the fall, obviously.
Yeah.
And planting for pollinator plants, native plants, milkweed, for all the pollinators out there, and how important it is. And I think we're seeing that awareness starting to come up.
I agree.
As we see people buying plants, especially perennials at the garden store, that are, you know, buying things that are natives and buying plants that are going to flower, that are going to be good for the pollinators, not just the butterflies, not just the honeybees, but for all the pollinators that are out there. And we have a tendency to overlook the bumblebees. There are many native bumblebees out there. I think the rusty something or other is another one that's as close to the extinction list. I think that's the way you say that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, it's a serious situation. Doesn't mean that they can't come back.
No, I understand.
But you've lost them in a few of those states.
It's like the beagles, man. If we all started planting more pollinators,
exactly.
Plants.
So as we continue to get this word out there and you see that they actually have disappeared from 8 different states, it kind of opens up your eyes and says, okay, wait a second. Got to do something about this,
right,
to bring this back around again. And those are the native bees that were here long before the European honeybees ever showed up. You know, we talk about the honeybees all the time. They're the poster child. Monarch butterflies and European honeybees are the poster child for pollinators. I mean, that's it. We're taking care of the bees. We're taking care of the monarchs. The monarchs are actually not very good pollinators. They just happen to enjoy the nectar and happen to carry a little pollen around with them. But they're not really big pollinators.
Yeah, but you don't want to see them go.
No. That's okay because everybody knows what they are.
Yeah.
So that's why they become a poster child, and that's good. The honeybee, same way, because everybody thinks honeybees and honey and things like that. But think about before the Europeans came here, you know, the pilgrims and all, when they brought the honeybees with them. Because up until that point, it was all of our native bees that were here back then. The bumblebees and the orchard bees and the mason bees, those things like that. They were already here. Those were our native bees. And then the European honeybee came along, and they all worked together. As a matter of fact, they have found that where you have mason bees or orchard bees in an orchard actually makes the honeybees work a little harder because they're all working together. So it's like, oh, I got to speed this up and do a little. And they actually have better pollination when they have the two of them together. So, yeah, and I know there was some issue there about some honeybees or whatever with the bumblebees. But, again, it boils down to the habitat. And I don't care where you live. Even if you have a container on a patio, you can still put something in there that helps the pollinators. And it all adds up over time.
Sure does. Don't go away. More with Ron Wilson. I want to mention Bud Herbert Motors since we're on the subject of, you know, gardens and gardening and outdoor activities. And you got to mow your lawn. You need great lawn.
This is a hybrid. This is a cross, bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass, featherbed bench, and Northern California Sensimilla.
Well, you can play 36 holes on it and go home and get stoned out of your gourd. That's what that combo's for. What do you say, Joey? Feels like a Friday when I get to hear that song, even though it's just a snippet. Dearly love me old Ramones. Of course, the late, great Joey Ramone taking a solo effort on that one. I know you like the original version of the song better, but everybody's got their own thing, Ron Wilson.
No, it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah.
What do we else
who's
we got?
The guy, who's the guy from Hawaii that sang that, too, though? He's no longer
alive.
I like that version, too. That was kind of
Tiny cool. Bubbles guy.
No. This guy was current like about 10 years ago.
Oh, never mind. I don't know.
It was on the radio.
Don Ho. Wasn't it the guy I'm thinking
that
of?
Was Tiny Bubble.
Yeah, he's the only guy I ever heard of from. Joe's like, just move on. Come on.
Yeah.
Get back to it.
Your
get back
probably,
on page.
Your dad still listens to Don Ho probably. Tiny Bubbles.
I think he ever did.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Only because he had to.
Oh, okay. So what else are we talking about? It is fall. Just a couple rundown of things. First of all, planting bulbs. I can't stress it enough. And there's a big push all of a sudden. We had a lady on about 3 weeks ago talking about an old process that used to be done a lot in Europe, especially in the Holland area, where they had these huge estates, these medieval kind of castle type things. And they would plant, go out and just naturalize with minor bulbs. And they would plant thousands and thousands at a time. So every spring, the entire estate just lit up with these bulbs.
Sure.
And there are many different types that you can plant to do that. And that particular process is an oldie but a goodie. it's starting to make a comeback again, and they're really starting to push this idea. So rather than going out and buying six tulip bulbs and six daffodils.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this last week. Get 100.
Get 100 or get 200 or plant it so that over a five-year period you'll continue to plant 1,000 of these types of bulbs for the show. And I swear to you, since this lady was on our show, and it was coming anyway, it was part of the trends coming off or whatever. Now everybody's jumping on trying to get people out. And it only makes – it's a really cool process. I think one of the things that you want to keep in mind if you're going to do plant a lot of plants, there's so many garden augers out there today that make it really easy for you. So you start thinking, my God, how am I going to plant all those bulbs? These garden augers, you attach them to your regular, you know, cordless drill, and they'll do a halfway decent job. Now, if it's a really heavy clay, it may wear your drill down a little bit quicker. But these are, you know, some of these are out there, and they're available in different planting depths and the whole nine yards. But this happens to be Power Planter, which I think is one of the best ones out there. But and there's different lengths. But the thing is, if you're going to do that, do these planters. It makes it easy. But if you plant a lot of annuals, this also makes it very easy for you when you're planting annuals in the springtime. If you're planting quart plants or 1 gallon perennials and things like that, also helps to dig the hole with that. You can get them in different widths. This happens to be a 3-inch. But then I also get these. You're not just doing it for planting. But this time of the year is a great time in a landscape bed or a perennial bed that you can't go and actually till the bed or work the bed or whatever. You can actually go in and take these and drill holes. Just take your drill out there and drill 15 holes at 2 feet apart or 18 inches apart in where the plants are not growing. Come back and put a little pine fine in there or some composted manure or something like that, and you're doing vertical, or you're doing core aerating in your landscape beds and in your perennial beds, and you're adding organic matter back to the soil. Anytime you can do that. So you buy these planters, these augers, and they're great for planting with, but they're also great to add organic matter back to existing plantings. So keep those in mind, and fall is an absolutely wonderful time to be adding soil amendments to your soil rather than doing it in the spring.
Time to raid the compost heap.
Exactly.
8:26 right now, one more segment with Ron Wilson. And we're going to hear from Jason Williams about why has local politics and local races gotten so partisan? First word for odor exit, which won't work on the stench of local politics being so partisan, but it will work. KRC, the talk station. The melodious guitar tunage from the late, great Jimi Hendrix happened to be Ron Wilson, one of Ron Wilson's all-time favorites. Found that out a few weeks ago on the show. Yeah. So can't beat it, man. Cannot beat it.
Hey, you know, I was looking I was looking at this article you had about the bees, the bumblebees, and the American bumblebee have disappeared from 8 states. And they list all the things here, but you know what's funny? When they list these things, it's a combination of all of them.
I didn't mean to single out honeybees. I was shocked that they mentioned them.
Well, the competition means that lack of habitat.
There you go.
So now you're all competing. So there's only so much out there for all of them. So it's not the honeybee going after the bumblebee. It's just the fact that there's no pollen out there for them, no nectar for them to go out there and collect. So that becomes the issue. But look at that, climate change, which we are seeing that, warmer days or whatever. That is affecting them big time. The pesticides out there, but it's still way down on the list. Diseases, when they become stressed, honeybees as well, when they become stressed because of lack of habitat, because of these varroa mites and things like that, makes them more susceptible to other changes like climate change and competition and the whole nine yards. Habitat loss, obviously right at the top, no doubt about it. And that's the big factor out there. So they start getting stressed from lack of habitat and all of that, all these other factors.
It's a ripple effect.
Yeah, they play into their hands.
It's kind of like COVID-19 as far as we're concerned.
Yeah, really. And that's it. So, you know, it's a tough one out there for them. But we all can do something to help them out.
Well, we're doing our best over here over at the Thomas House. Well, at least my wife is.
And you said something about honeybees, you know, having honeybee hives, and you don't want to really be a beekeeper.
Yeah, I just thought it'd be neat to have the hive on your property not have to mess with it.
There are beekeepers out there that would love to have their hives in other areas that, you know, like if you have a really, which your wife has a great perennial garden.
Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of pollinator plants and all, as long as your neighbors are good with it. And you need to tell your neighbors because a lot of people freak out because you're going to have a honeybee hive. Well, some people freak out with the bees. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of people scared of bees,
wasps. And there are college kids who ball up in a fetal position when you mention some sort of libertarian or conservative political viewpoint. But that doesn't make it right.
But it is good to tell your neighbors to let them know that you're going to have a hive there that you know, and explain to them what you're doing. But there are beekeepers out there that would love to have a good habitat to be able to put a hive or two out there. And that's what we do at the nursery. We've got a gentleman, Walter Weldon, comes out, and he's got three or four, I think, out there right now. And, you know, they're in the outlet all the time. You see all the bees. You can tell they increased more after he came in. So we love it. We think it's great. And you realize that they aren't after you. They could care less about you.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the whole big thing.
Well, it's really cool. My daughter, who's in graduate school, does work part-time for 80 Acres, that indoor garden. They have bees, natural pollination. And the bees are all over in there.
Well, they take bumblebees. You know, in the greenhouses, they have special bumblebees in boxes that you buy and open them up and let the bumblebees do the pollinating for them.
Yep.
So, I mean, that you know, so they do that as well.
It's really
in greenhouses,
cool.
Which is a cool thing to do, so. I know we're running out of time. Just some real quick things. Don't forget, in the lawn, if you're doing some spot treating for weeds, now's the time to do it. October is the best month to go after dandelions and Creeping Charlie and Harry Bittercress and all those guys. Look at Weed Free Zone from Fertilome and Weed Beater Ultra because they work at 45 degrees. Not all of them work at cooler temperatures. They do. Great time to do that. Leaves are falling. Mow them back in the turf. If you get nervous about it, collect them up. Use them in your compost, soil amendment, whatever it may be. Keep your same mowing height. Keep mowing until it's done growing. Then you can do that last final mowing, and don't forget to feed it that second time by mid-November. Get the bag now so you've got it in hand so you get to mid-November, and you're only a couple weeks from Thanksgiving. You don't want to go back to the garden center. Get your fertilizer on hand right now. Plant those spring bulbs, naturalize, pockets, containers. You can do them in containers. You're really helping out a lot of the early pollinators as well. And last but not least, plant a tree or two or three. Fall is a great time for planting. Milkweed, pollinator plants, native plants, trees, shrubs, you can do it now.
You can do milkweed now.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing to do right now is remember, when you plant these, you can't just put them in the ground, water them in, and walk away. You got to stick with them because, you know, we still have a long way to go before the end of the season. If it stays dry, you got to water, just like you would in the spring and summertime. And that goes for any newly planted plant. And I consider newly planted plants this year or last year. Water them right up until we get to the holiday season or they are dormant and totally shut down. Then you can stop for the rest of the year. But we've been watering up to Christmas the last several years because it stays so dry up until that point. So depends on where you live, but you've got to keep watering, especially those evergreens. But otherwise, now is an excellent time to plant. Get out to your local independent garden centers and plant. And again, of all things, plant a tree or two or three somewhere. I brought this just because get out and put a few houseplants in your house over the wintertime.
Oh, we love them. Really easy to care.
Put them in a 4-inch pot. You can get a great assortment. Have all these little babies in your house. They're great to look at. Easy to care for. So many great ones out there. Add houseplants so you can enjoy those over the winter.
Love the ones we have in our bedroom. Got a rack in there, and there's got a couple that sit on the floor.
And you put the grow lights in the cans.
Grow lights in the cans over the top of them. It is an ideal situation right in front of a southern exposure window.
What a great way to relax, have all those nice plants in the
bedroom. It has a calming effect, wherever it may be.
So easy to do.
That I'll double down on. Ron Wilson, thank you very much for spending time with my listeners and me this Friday. I look forward to hearing you on the radio in the morning tomorrow here on 55KRC, the talk station.
We'll be there.
Wherever you're listening, streaming at 55KRC. It is 2-1. Click, 840, 55 KRC, the talk station. Brian Thomas right here with every Friday. We're talking to Jason Williams of Cincinnati Inquirer reporter, also does some political commentary in his Politics Extra column, and gets to talk with us about matters local and political. Jason Williams, welcome back to the 55 KRC Morning Show. It's a real pleasure to have you on again.
Hey, Brian, great to be back.
I read a couple of articles this morning in preparation for the show, but I didn't really get around to talk to them. But one was a commentary from a psychoanalyst named Erica Commissar. It's in, actually, I think today's Wall Street Journal, Cancel Culture's Mental Health Toll. And there was a separate article by Kim Strassel, who I really enjoy her reading, Democrats Devour Kristen Sinema. And it was talking about tactics that Democrats were using against conservatives. They've turned on one of their own, and they're now employing them against Kristen Sinema because she's standing in the way of that $3.5 trillion social transformation bill. And then one more article called the 50 Harmful Effects Linked to Social Media. Social media clearly has had a dramatic impact on people's hearts and minds and attitudes toward each other, Jason. Is that why our local races, local school board races, little tiny races that no one would pay attention to have become, as you point out in your article most recently in the Inquirer, national races?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, Brian, I'm glad you brought up those articles because, I mean, I was talking to Senator Bill Blessing, state senator from here in Greater Cincinnati, the other day, and he's talking about big tech, and I said, Bill, I know I keep sounding repetitive on this, and I think I sound maybe overly simplistic, but I think you can trace a lot of our problems in this country, and certainly in our political discourse, to the beginning of social media.
Oh yeah,
and I'm at a point where I think at least from our politics in America, I think it's done more harm than it has good, to be
yes.
honest with you.
Yes.
I really do.
Well,
and,
I think,
and that's not just on the net. And I think we could have been able to say that for years about national politics. But I think now we're seeing that it's infiltrated down into, I don't know if that's the right word, but it's trickled down to the local, hyper local level. And what I mean by that is your neighborhood school boards and your neighborhood councils, which for years, small towns and suburbs and everywhere kind of outside of the big city of Cincinnati, pretty much a lot of times you didn't know who was what politically,
right.
Who was a Democrat, who was a Republican, and people prided themselves, people being, residents and voters, on, the fact that it's a nonpartisan thing, and
well,
that our local council and local trustees are down there working on the basic government 101 for us, the people, and that's what we want them to do. We don't want all this ideology from the left or the right, period.
Okay, understood and agreed. Now, we've obviously transformed a lot in this country over the years, from the McCarthy era where we were crucifying socialists to the current era where we're crucifying conservatives. The world's a different place, but school boards themselves, I mean, who would argue that having the best interest of your children's education wasn't paramount, and that's the only reason you're running for school board? Now, the curriculum has become politicized. So this whole idea that it doesn't matter what party affiliation the school board member is, it's become almost the most important thing, because we all know Democrats overwhelmingly support ideas like critical race theory, 1619 Project, and the LGBT, linguistics we all have to go through. And the conservative-minded folks, independent-minded folks, they're all about, well, how about reading, writing, and arithmetic, and let's leave this social justice stuff out of the classroom. There's the problem.
Yeah, it's certainly a big issue, and I think if you go around pockets and, again, just look at a greater Cincinnati, in some cases it's school boards controlled by Democrats, in some cases it's school board controlled by Republicans, and it's, the challengers who are, hammering home all those talking points that you talked about. And in one way, Brian, the rhetoric and the national talking points that are around a lot of this, you just kind of leaves you shaking your head in a lot of cases. But on the flip side of it, there's a good thing about this in that.
Oh yeah.
So for so many years, Brian, so many years, a lot of these school boards, no one was interested in running, and you had, and I'm just making up a name, Jim Smith was on the school board for 30 years, and he never had a challenger, and we just status quo and went with Jim Smith again for the 30th time.
Right.
And now there, I think there's a good thing in this is that people have legitimate choices for their school board and for the future of their schools, and let the people decide. And now it's no longer just like you can't find people to run for these seats. It's now like competitive and competition. As we know, makes things typically better.
Typically. Well, and the other great thing about the internet, it allows for us to have greater control and accountability for our politicians, because we get so much information. We can get to the records directly, as opposed to driving down to the courthouse or your local community township and asking for a public records request. They're right there online. We have people showing up at school board meetings and posting what happened on their social media accounts. You know, and people are forced to have to go out. And this is the problem. I mean, I have an opportunity. I live in Sims Township, but I'll be voting for the Loveland School Board because my kids went to Loveland School. So I'm going to have it. I have to go and find out myself. There are no debates. There are no discussions. Yeah. There are no, most of them don't even have a website. It's like you can't go to and figure out what they stand for. So I'm going to have to go around and look online myself to find out anything I can about these people. So they're still flying under the radar, but we can get at them in our own way if we choose to through social media, which then may end up running you headlong into one of these, you know, name-calling so-called discourses online. You know, it's just like this vicious circle.
You really nailed it there. And again, I think if you, it's hard to get your arms around because there's so many races, and I don't know the exact numbers right at the top of my head. My colleague Maddie Mitchell at the Inquirer did a piece on this about a month ago. But I think it's safe to say that there are record numbers, or at least close to record numbers, of people running for school boards. And, you know, I've read stories where, hey, this is happening all over America.
Yep.
And if you could get your arms around and look at every single detailed one, I bet you'd find a lot of them that there aren't a lot of this nasty stuff going on, but there are competitive races. I can say that right here in my own neighborhood in Wyoming. There's competitive races, but the school board race here is not nasty at all. And, you know, you have three challengers who are three moms who were really upset about, you know, watching their kids struggle last year through the shutdown. And I can vouch for that. I was one of those parents who watched my 8-year-old son, he's 8 now, really struggle with online learning and trying to learn through a laptop and not being around his friends.
Of course.
And so there's nothing nasty coming from the Democratic side, the incumbents either. But they've had their stance as incumbents on the schools. These challengers are saying, no, we want to, you know, we're not going to do politics, but we want to get back to these basic things here. We're frustrated about some of the mandates, but we're not going to go out on social media and blast people and yell at people and steal people's signs and all that.
So there's
and
still
so I
civility.
There's probably a lot of those kind of races going
on
right now.
Yeah, you can do that. You can be on opposite sides of an issue but still be civil about it. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I'm an advocate for David Mann for mayor of City of Cincinnati. He's not my personal political affiliation, but you know, he's certainly a civil, decent guy, and I don't believe personally that after Perval has followed that same level of civility. I mean, he's got his snide comments, and of course I question his motivations and even wanting to run for mayor, but you at least know a guy like David Mann is civil. I've talked to the Republican candidates. I haven't run into one that doesn't seem civil. Of course, nobody can argue that Kevin Flynn doesn't have that level of civility with him. So that is alive and well in a lot of races. But, you know, it's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, Jason. Like the Loudoun County School Board, that's a thing, man. That's going on. Yeah. And the more the nation keeps reading about that one story, the more I think people are waking up and going, geez, is that going on here too?
Yeah. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And I think you could probably point to a lot of things in our politics today in which, it's the loudest voices on both sides of the political spectrum that get all the attention. And honestly, are getting things accomplished simply because of that. And I don't want to go down this road too far, but I think the streetcar is a great example of that. I would say that having covered this for 9 years, I would say that a majority of the citizens of Cincinnati probably do not support, I don't say probably, do not favor the streetcar.
Right.
But a small group of organized, very loud, very passionate folks made a lot of noise about it, and hey, look, today we have a streetcar.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good example of that, again, the loudest voices oftentimes are the ones who are getting the attention and are getting things done.
And you know why? You know why they're getting it done and they're able to accomplish that? I think because the politicians, the real people, the decision makers, aren't awake to the reality of what you just said, that it isn't a majority of people. It's just the loudest, meanest, in-your-face group that appear to have the majority and the support there. That's not the case. They just happen to be the loudest trolls and the people with, I think, the most time on their hands, Jason. Get a job. You know what I mean?
I've spent a lot of time reporting on this stuff and looking at it, observing it, and watching and listening and hearing and, you know, It's certainly an area that I've, you know, in politics, and when you cover politics, you have to be really in tune to.
No doubt about it. Jason Williams, you can find him online at Cincinnati.com. That's the Cincinnati Inquirer's webpage, and that makes sense. Get yourself a subscription there, even a digital subscription. It's not a lot, but you do get local reporting, and you get to read what Jason and the others write. Jason, always a pleasure to have you on the program. I wish you the best of health between now and our next discussion, and have a great weekend.
Sounds good. You too, Brian.
Thanks, bye-bye, man. 852-55 KRC, the talk station. Career opportunities.